News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, folks, listen, you know different aspects of my resume, time in state politics, time serving in the military, spent some time at the Pentagon, never got a chance to go down the street, so to speak. But we're going to bring somebody in right now who has got a wealth of experience dealing with the National Security Council. So John Elliott is coming on with us right now. He's got a degree from Harvard University. His LinkedIn says he was also a former intel officer and a scout sniper platoon commander in the U.S. Marine Corps. Glad to hear that. Semper Fi. He also has 25 years of experience in strategic council, served previously as the chief spokesman for the National Security Council under the Trump administration. So with that being said, let me welcome John Elliott to the Right Side Radio. John, how are you doing today?
Absolutely, Phil. Thank you. I heard your introduction as well, and so thanks for having me on with your listeners.
Well, no, I appreciate that very much.
Absolutely, and also thank you for your service as an Army Ranger as well.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you. And I read your LinkedIn bio, by the way. I'll just jump on that real quick. Did I read correctly that you were a Marine officer and served as a platoon leader?
That's correct. Early on in my career, right after college, I was a scout sniper platoon commander and intel officer in the U.S. Marine Corps. So just like you, I had service in the military and a better man for it, I've got to say. And that's why I salute all those who are continuing to serve now, even if it's just for a few years, like it was in my case, for people who have a full 20 and in some cases 30 years experience. So it's really part of the bedrock of our country. But that leads us to what we're talking about in terms of Ukraine.
Yeah.
In that, obviously, this is a terrible week for Biden. He was over there in Europe, and then he visited Poland and was right near the border. And as we know, he had a speech that was written by his aides, like so many of the speeches are, and then he ad-libbed at the end of it, and he said, for God's sake, this man cannot remain in power, talking about Putin. And then suddenly that turned what should have been a very good week for the alliance into really splitting people, where President Macron of France is very angry about this supposed change in policy, about regime change, and then Biden had to walk that back, et cetera. But anyway, it was once again Biden snatching defeat from the jaws of victory with a very easy trip that it should have been, and making that into a something that splits the alliance rather than holds it together.
Well, John, let me ask you, in your personal resume, you were the former chief spokesman for the National Security Council. This the power broking group, a brokering group that deals with all matters of foreign policy, military policy. And I would love to believe that at least in your administration, that there was a sort of a jibing of the messaging before you went out front and issued a public statement, like everybody's on the same sheet. But right now we're seeing a constant series of gaffes, like we see the Secretary of State say they're going to green light the MiG-29s, and then it comes out later on that they won't, and the Secretary of Defense follows up saying that's not tenable. And we're seeing this constant set of mixed messaging coming out of the same National Security Council. And I'm questioning, what has been your experience with messaging as a spokesperson? And I guess I would have to say, wouldn't it be a heck of a time to be a spokesperson right now?
Right. Absolutely, Phil. That you put a real fine point on it. The National Security Council is the coordinating body for the national security elements of the administration. So you've got State Department, DOD, DHS, DOJ, FBI, and the intelligence community, including the DNI and CIA. And that's all pulled together for the president in the National Security Council. And so you better believe that everything under President Trump and most administrations is very buttoned up in terms of communications. Obviously, when the president speaks, he can set policy at any point. And President Trump did that in a very good way in his administration by really calling NATO out on the carpet. That never would have been done by a spokesperson, but he really made NATO pay their fair share. He called out the Chinese for 20 years being very tough to deal with. And he, for one, just set that new policy, but you never would have had that as a spokesperson here. But here you've got a case where Biden, in his speech this weekend, he essentially went off script and talked about the Putin not remaining in power, and yeah. as a result, really split the alliance. Macron is very angry at him right now, the president of France. This is a total distraction, and to your point, in the National Security Council, that never would have been anything that was put together in terms of messaging, and Biden is a lot weaker as a result. But if we take a step back, Phil, one other thing that I think your listeners should be really focused on is the fact that Putin would never have gone into Ukraine in the first place if President Trump were in office, because there have been four presidents in the 21st century, and President Trump was the only president on whose watch Putin did not invade a neighboring country. So once again, in 2008, when George W. Bush was president, he invaded Georgia, just to the south of Russia. In 2014, with Biden and Obama in office, President Obama, he invaded Crimea. And then under 4 years of President Trump, he didn't dare, because President Trump showed such strength, he did not dare make a move on any of his neighbors. And then it's only 1 year now into just over a year into the Biden administration, and lo and behold, Putin is once again, for the third time this century, has invaded one of his neighbors. And it's he did that because Biden telegraphed weakness very early on.
Well, let me ask you, speaking of telegraphing weakness, I mean, one of the things that has been a back and forth, in fact, I think President Volodymyr Zelensky even called it the ping pong game of lethal aid being provided. Now, we are providing lethal aid, a lot of which was instigated under the Trump administration to Ukraine, and that's the Javelins, the Stinger missiles. But right now, there's this entire holdup on the S-300 air defense systems and on the MiG-29s that Poland says that they'll be willing to transfer. And yet that is considered to be a bridge too far for the Biden administration, as if escalating to a different level, if you will, of military aid could some way provoke an invasion or a further invasion, which is already underway. What are your thoughts as a former spokesperson for the NSC? What are your thoughts about the provision of lethal aid, where we are now and where we would have been in terms of providing that aid if Trump were still in office?
Well, Phil, absolutely, we would have been a lot stronger if President Trump were still in office, because you had a situation where under President Obama and Vice President Biden, they didn't even give any lethal aid. They instead gave ponchos, helmets, MREs, meals ready to eat, et cetera, but nothing that was actually something that could be used in actually defending in terms of a weaponry, Javelin, Stingers. And now, to your point, Phil, you've got the MiGs and you've got the air defense systems that are ready to go. And for your question about where they would be with President Trump, they would have had those MiGs even before this invasion. I mean, they had months when Biden was letting Putin amass his forces on the border, and then suddenly we're trying to talk about MiGs. I mean, we had months to do that. It was right when Biden was telegraphing weakness on Afghanistan and also on China that then Putin said, hey, you know, these guys don't mean business. And also what they did on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which was something that President Trump had kept out of completion. He kept sanctions on that pipeline. And then Biden took out the Keystone pipeline in terms of our own energy security and instead approved the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that went from Russia all the way to Germany. So it's something that he telegraphed weakness once again very early on, and the Ukrainians are paying a price, unfortunately, as a result of it.
Well, let me ask you, John, too. This segment that I'm doing on the show has been a recurring segment. I'm calling it Ukraine, What Now, What Next? So with about a minute and a half to 2 minutes left here with the what next, where do you see this going? I mean, Putin is already beginning to telegraph that he is trying to adjust his war strategy based upon failures on the ground and pretend that all he wanted to do was secure the eastern side of the country. But that being said, where do you see it going next? And what are your thoughts on the potential use of WMD that there's been saber rattling on thus far?
Well, there's a lot to address in about a minute and a half, but I'll do my best, Phil.
True.
But if you look at what's happening on the ground right now, you've got Russian generals that have been killed at a rate that is unheard of because they have had to be closer to the front line, so they're exposed themselves to snipers and others, and they have there've been really somewhere just short of a dozen that have been killed over there right now. And so you've got also right now a bad morale by way of the troops, the Russian troops that are in Ukraine. There are something, the estimates are anywhere from 7,000 to about 12,000 who've already been killed. You compare that to what we had in Afghanistan. And I mean, this is only, you're talking in less than a month. You're talking
right.
7,000 at least killed in that time frame. So to answer your question about where this goes next is that Putin is under pressure from his generals, from his oligarchs, from his base, if you will, in the country to, and from the families of Russian soldiers that are not coming back. And you have a situation where Putin is going to want to have peace or have the end of the invasion in a manner where he can save face. And so that's what he's going to be trying to do, whether that's keeping this land bridge that they've really solidified now between the eastern part of Ukraine and Crimea, and then essentially annex that and or have Zelensky say that they are no longer interested or no longer going to pursue in any way any type of participation in NATO. Those are really the factors right now, and we'll just see. But time is of the essence right now. This is a lot longer of a conflict than Putin had imagined. So you'll see more and more pressure on him to reach the end of the some type of a face-saving outcome. And we'll just see how that has to develop. Meanwhile, we need to keep arming the Ukrainians to the extent that we can. It should have been done far before the invasion. And once again, Biden is telegraphing weakness, and that needs to stop as soon as possible.
Well, John Elliott, we certainly appreciate your time, your experience. I just wanted to let you kind of run with it for a minute and see what kind of thoughts you had. And we certainly appreciate your time and your service as a former chief spokesman for the National Security Council and also as a Marine in the United States military inventory. So thanks for your time today, and have a great day.
Thank you, Phil. Thanks for having me on, and thank you for your service as well.
Thank you very much. All right, Copper, take us to a break. We ran a little long, but that was certainly worth it. Interesting when you could find somebody who has been, you know, at the upper levels of decision-making and messaging and policy setting, and that's certainly what John Elliott has been a part of, former chief spokesperson for the National Security Council under the Trump administration. All right, folks, stay tuned. We're going to come back, have a very short segment, and then top of the hour, my friend Chris May, who's still got a ministry to Ukrainians going on right now, has been sending aid that way. We'll get firsthand discussions with him. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. You hang on. We'll be right back.